Now, of course, we have to recognize that not all of that is demonic.
Yeah,
we do have personality.
I
felt the same about myself at times, where I manifested certain symptoms. And I just wondered, somehow, that there could be something coming back and bugging you once in a while because of the control of it.
Thank you.
I got a piece of paper and a little quiz. And what is the description of the veil filler? Question two. Describe the form of the veil. Leopard stock, it's in the whole thing. Filling the veil. Like what's in the main out of. crack the door, pull the veil. So everything that you get to by going through that door, you got there through grace. And in that room, there is a revelation of God in the last day. The light is the symbol of revelation. And there's a table of showbread, which is the symbol of you communing with God through Christ, through the bread of Christ. And then the altar of incense is a symbol of being able to pray to God and to be pleasing to God. And they're all covered with gold. Maybe it's a Latin gold, and then it's covered with gold. Which is, of course, the symbolic of being and entering into the presence of God. And of course, the cherubim, and by grace, and then they're into that position of being made like unto God, man made like unto God. And all the way through all the things that are in that, by grace. You know, I would like to share a quick testimony here. Not quick, but right in line with what Sam had said this morning. Prophesied over one time and told me that there was going to be a long, twisty road ahead of me, that it wasn't going to be easy, and that when I came through it, there would be a strength there, a different strength, a strength there, and that it would be, that my heart would be contrite. And that there would be, of course, a teaching ministry. And I'm not just sure where I am on that one trail, but I can tell you this, that everything that has happened to me up to that point and since brought me and has continued to bring me and kept me at a place where sometimes the words that I describe as is like being skewered. It's like, cooking with kebabs, you stick the thing through the meat and through the vegetables and then put it on the stove. And that is like, the living sacrifice. You get tinned down in certain ways by God and by His love. And, I struggled a long time against that, and I struggled against the simple way of walking with God. I struggled against just letting the Lord do it, letting Him take care of me, trusting Him to be my power, trusting Him to be my revelation and to give me the revelation, and trusting Him to lead me, and trusting Him to be my life. But every man, I think, goes through this to a lesser or greater degree. I seem to have struggled much harder than many people struggle. I don't know. But inside of me, there was such a strong will to live, so to speak, in the flesh, that it just really pushed hard. And God let that go. He let you struggle and push in your fleshly personality. He let you do that because you have free will and you won't take it from you. But as I pushed and pushed and pushed on my own way, eventually I found the power grinding down. There wasn't any more strength to do it. It's like I was getting stretched out to a point where this case was going to snap. Well, I'd already snapped once, right after I got the spirit filled, and that did something in me, but this prophecy was after that. And so I knew that there was a certain stretching that could be done, and then I'd snap again, and I could feel, it was coming on. And I knew that I couldn't go that far anymore. I knew that I couldn't be pushed that far, or my personality and my nervous system and all that just wouldn't take it. It would just, pop. Do some crazy stuff thing, which is what had happened before. And this the way I am then forced me to go a different route. I had to start leaning on him, but it wasn't the first thing I wanted to do. It wasn't my first choice. My first choice was to try to do it myself first, always. Always my first choice. I didn't want to let him do it. I didn't want to back down and let God do it. But that's what the Lord was talking about this morning in chapel. You don't have to wait until all of your strength is gone and you're completely broken, busted, before you're ready to take over. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait until your head cracked open, so to speak, on the pavement before you relax enough to let God do it with you. You just have to begin to say, well, I got all this zeal and strength and drive, and I'm just going to spin my wheels a while. I'm just going to let the Lord start getting a hold of me and letting His Spirit do it, even though it's sort of like you have to give her the story about the guy that went around the corner of the bird sanctuary, and every cage was labeled and had the name of the bird on it. And he came on this one corner and he looked at this cage, and there was this ugly looking bird in there with this big old long beak and a funny looking neck and two feet, and the guy went just like this. And then underneath the bird, the name of the bird, it says the Screeching Hall. Well, anyway, that's exactly something in the Lord. You have to come to the Screeching Hall and just let the Lord take over your life. You've got to stop dead in your tracks and just stop. Even though there's all kinds of strength to do it, even though you feel the power is there to do the thing, just remember the last time you did what happened. You messed it up. So just hold your hand and look to the Lord, move ahead of you, and try walking with a halt. Try walking with a limp for a while. That's what Jacob had to do. After his name got changed to Israel, he walked with a limp. Dressed his life, probably. And that's what means to you. You have to walk with a limp. It isn't always obvious to people, but it's inside. There's a limp inside. And you wrestle with God, and you wrestle with God, and you wrestle with God. And finally, you get broken and weak enough that you just lean on Him for yourself. It doesn't have to take so long. God's saying, do it now. He's telling us to do it now. Because He's saying that now is the hour, and that there are many, many, many who, there's a multitude of excuses and a multitude of reasonings that come to the mind. Each person is different, but they're getting discouraged and weighed down in the way because they haven't done it yet. They haven't thrown themselves on Christ and let Him carry them along the road. And I don't know how to get you there. it's a personal revelation to you. I can just give you testimony, that's all I can do. And it demands that you quit comparing yourself against what you had set up for yourself to be. You've got to throw that out. You've got to throw out what you think other people are thinking about you. Though it may be right. It might even be true that they really are thinking that about you. But that isn't going to help you anything. Really important. Your mind, it's almost like you have to draw a blank. You know what a complete blank is? It's like, what is it? It's like white. It's completely plain white. You know, like the other day, when it rained that one day so heavily, well, after school, I went down to this house on the water where a bunch of guys from school rented the house. And the color, the water was just white from the fog. It was all white. And you couldn't see Vashon Island across the water. It was fog, and it was just all white. Kind of like, you know, these pictures in the magazine where the model is standing, and the photographer used a big sheet of white paper or white cloth, and it comes up behind, and there's no line where the corner of the room should be. In fact, that's almost always what you do in professional photography magazines. They don't show you that line back there, and that's where this was in the scene. It was just complete white. The sky and the water the same color, and you couldn't tell where one started and the other stopped. You could tell because you knew from where the horizon line usually was, you know, about, but you couldn't see it. It was all white. And that's like the righteousness of Christ. If your mind is struggling with all kinds of things, just cancel it all out with the righteousness of Christ. Just cancel it all out. Just cancel it. Because it won't. Just cancel it out. Completely. You're just in Him. You're just in His righteousness. And you're not worried about it anymore. It's just done. It's gone. And if you remember that, you blank it all out. Well, Mother God and His righteousness, then you can just begin to walk in this place where you just see. And I remember that message about flying when the chapel service we begin to read tonight, but not that it was the end of it. And people were flying towards that city, so running. And they were getting worn out and tired, but others, they started taking off and they started flying. And that's what it is. It's like, pretty soon you're not entertaining any doubt at all. You're entertaining nothing but, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. And it is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And every time some block comes up in your mind, just say, that is taken care of. It's Calvary. You see, and pretty soon you're going to start understanding how it can be taken care of. Just like we got up this morning, the love of God, the motive of the love of God is the only thing that will help you. You've been struggling and struggling and struggling many times to get rid of things in your life, but the main reason you haven't found deliverance is because your motivation for deliverance wasn't absolutely pure. And God is purely purging you. He's letting you go through that fire of testing to burn out that part of the motive which was wrong. Selfish motive, you know, trying for pride, you know. I've got just as much of a right to be a good Christian as that brother is. And I'm going to do my best. These things are subtle and they're deep inside. You can't label them, and you never will be able to understand them. In fact, I saw myself in a different light yesterday. You know, I realized just, you know, how really, you know, how much vainglory there is, how much vainglory there is in most of our personalities, in mine especially, just how much of this surface sugar coating there is, which is trying to show forth something which isn't really down there. You know, you bite into that M&M and it looks nice and yellow and pretty on the outside, but after you're able to bit one in half and save half of it and look at it, it's, you know, it looks kind of ugly. It's all, you know, peanut and chocolate inside. You know. And that's where we are. We like to have the sugar coating on the outside and how pretty we are. But inside, there's still a lot of work to go on. It's really perfect. How much better to get it done on the inside and then let it come out and put it way aside by others. crusty coating, you know, and it's trying to be something that I've never done. And it was all about this. When you come to realize, like I do, how the love of God is really the only thing that will help me. It's the only thing that will help me. I don't respond to anything else. I don't. I don't respond to love of people because I don't trust it. I can't trust it very far. I don't have enough trust in me. Trust their love very far. Not to deliver me from the things that really, really, really are close to me and are really bothering me. If I did, if I had trusted their love good, I would have been delivered a long time ago. But I haven't been fully delivered from the relationship. So it isn't a love of other people. And it isn't knowledge. You can understand, you can rationalize, you can chew up and figure out your weakness and your problem and why you do this and why you do that. But it doesn't go over you. It doesn't deliver you to their love. It doesn't set you free. So it's not knowledge. It's not other people. Pretty soon you get pretty good. And you see what is there anything beautiful that will really help me? Is there anything that will really transform my life? And the only power strong enough to help you is to somehow harness the longing you have inside of you to love. You can somehow get that longing to be used. It is more consistent than anything. It's more consistent than your breathing, practically. That longing you have inside of you to be loved, it is the strongest energy you've got. We waste all our time with coal energy, and when we could be having atomic reactors. It's so efficient. And the Antichrist system wants to delay it so that the people will think there is an energy crush. So they'll get all up in the air. They could have atomic reactors going probably 30 years ago. I'm not saying some people wouldn't get hurt by the radioactivity, but I think they probably could have gotten a lot more electricity off the people by now. But you see, it dominates the world if they're going to monopolize the electricity. So it is with your flesh. To monopolize the glory, your flesh has tried to go on burning coal when it could have been burning too. You could have been changed and been an atomic reactor by now. And you're just putting out black smoke all over the place. People don't like coal burning. They stink. And the soot comes down on everything. You ever just get sick and tired of your life? It's just the most ugly, yucky thing you ever saw. Well, that's what it is. That's what it is. It's the product of burning too much flesh to get the job done. So, let's get refined as silver as you can. Let's harness those deep rivers of strength and power that are in a human being. By how? How are you going to harness it? If you've got this huge, huge cavity, this huge vacuum, Jesus is just desirous of love so much you can't live. It's just like you just get wearier and wearier and wearier without it. That is got a guiding heart for the love of God. You've got to get it plugged in. If people tell you this is what it is that kind of side, plug in. And plug in. Plug into it. And get as much current flowing as you can. You can get a bigger pipe later, but get it going to you. Get it in there. It's the only thing that'll work. If you can't quit burning coal, at least get a little bit of atomic reactors going. Get part of that problem taken care of. Get the principle going so you can get more. And pretty soon you'll be able to convert it completely to just atomic energy. You've got to. You'll die. That's why that heart message from the Lord came up so strongly. In the course, this class, perhaps, will be one where it would be easiest to burn the coal. Because you want to work on it and struggle with the mind thing to get it. Well, this is the most important place, then, to not burn the coal. But to go by the Spirit of God and let the revelation come. Just like in your life, the place where you are most prone to do it in the flesh is the most important place to stop dead in your trust. I won't move without God. said, God, it's God. I'm not thinking about it. Let him move you. Let him draw you and let him pull you. Let him pull your heart into that place. Otherwise, you're not going to see it. And you won't make it. Because he didn't go to the end, Chuck. You see, you might ask for immediate results. Well, if this is really the way to go, then immediately I'm going to have complete deliverance over everything. But wait a minute. It's by your heart getting transformed to where that is your motive. That's how you're going to get the deliverance. And that isn't going to happen all right away. Just like you know, in the natural, a teenage girl, if she's got a boyfriend, it's going to take a lot of years before she gets to the place where she really has an unselfish maturity in that love. And it's not, she's going to be a lot of, is trying to get it for herself, and she's going to have a lot of heartbreaks and a lot of trouble and a lot of cries, because the self-motivation is always hindered, it's always frustrated. And that's what it is if you walk with the Lord. You're immature in your motivation, and so you're being frustrated in those things. But you find yourself encouraged when you fall back onto the right motivation. It's kind of like you can't discern yet between them, and you're just kind of making stabs, and once in a while it'll hit, and once in a while it won't. You don't understand when it is and when it isn't, and you can't discern between them. But when it hits, you know it hits. Well, do like the rat in the maze. He comes and hits the trigger, and the food comes. Well, you eat the fruit of the love of God and the peace of God in certain aspects, and you get the joy of the Lord and the power and the peace that comes upon your soul. It might just be a little pellet at a time, but keep hitting that trigger. Don't go out and kill it. Don't go out and die. Keep hitting that thing and getting that to eat and keep eating there. And that's going to bring you out. It's going to go with you. You'll feel pretty poor at first. You'll feel pretty poor. You have to throw aside all this trapping that you were carrying around, all this ugly self-righteousness that you were hanging on to and thinking was something you said to God. You know, maybe you've got your report cards on the wall, you know, and you've got whatever, you know. Well, you know enough by now that it's frustrating to have a little bit of motivation, but it you feel pretty poor. Everybody does it. No matter how glorious they look on the outside when they get up and preach their sermons or when they get up and testify or whatever, they're in the same place. Without that heart of God and that love for God and that relationship with God, they are a zero, or maybe 0.1. And that's where we're at. That's what the Laodicean church age was. it thought it was good. It thought it was doing fine. So we can look at all of the wonderful things that have happened in our body and our spirit and we can say, wow. But God said, wow, you haven't even started. You're not onto the main theme yet. We've just been tuning up our instruments a little bit and we haven't even started on the main theme. And the same goes for the tabernacle. Be careful how you hear. We can be looking at this and just like we do our lives. All the trappings, all of the detail and the stuff and the prayer life and the getting to chapel on time and all these things. But where's God? Why is it there? That God might come. This pillar might, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And that there might be a holy oracle, a voice coming to man. Yes, it needed to be prepared, and they needed to make it as good as possible. But all of this is nothing compared to what's here. It's nothing. It's just trapping. It's nothing compared to the one who dwells there. That's the glory of that house. And so it is with your life. God is the glory of your house. A human being is like, I don't want background or diagram, except man in the world is through his head and all, he's glorifying himself. And he's not very glorious to God, because the way God wants it is kind of like an empty tabernacle in the world. God wants it like this. God wants his glory being manifested in the man. And the man is sort of overshadowed by the glory of God. The man is just like a vessel where God's manifestation might rest. And his head isn't so much to live by as it is to protect that manifestation of God. The purpose of your brain is to keep you in the love of God and to keep you in Christ and to keep you in the truth that will save you. It isn't to glorify your flesh. But human brain is so much perverted and used for the wrong thing. Your brain is to keep you as a steady manifester, a steady lamp, a place where God will always be able to come down and be there. That is what you're head for. You're supposed to figure out how to keep loving God and how to keep on being a place where Jesus can focus. And that isn't going to come by fleshly decisions either. What I'm speaking of is your head is to keep you oriented to God's truth, so you're not, so you're not doing things with your vessel that make God breathe. And that's what he said this morning. So you can breathe. If the most important thing for you is that God loves you and God's love is with you and in you and to you and by you and through you and all this, then you ought to bend all of your brain's efforts to that end. And if you found out some data that God is a spirit and that he is love and that you have a human spirit, and that you must worship him in spirit and in truth, then use that data. Apply it. Those are some of the most important things you're supposed to hold on to is your brain. God is a spirit. And I have a human spirit that's going to worship him. And my brain is to guide my flesh to be oriented around where my personality, by my human spirit, can respond to God. And the response and the pleasure you get in your personality by doing that is so great. God wants to reinforce that. He wants to reinforce it
yep, Pavlov thing, but it's because God is the one who set that up in the first place. And he wants to reinforce every time you get onto the right track with him. That's why you don't feel any satisfaction when you do it in your own flesh. He doesn't want to reinforce that. The Spirit doesn't want to reinforce it. People reinforce it for you. But God wants to reinforce the thing that was even more, just the most important, is the love of God.
I just really feel some things that I know the Spirit this morning. I really feel we're going along like in our class lesson. I really feel what you're bringing to God. I think there's other areas that you've elaborated here. And I would love your heart.
Do you mind sitting there to do it? Do you mind sitting there to do it? You're going to come
with me? No, I just a couple of things.
Go ahead.
The very thing that the brother's talking about here. I know this is a normal class, and I'm not a called teacher of God, and not usurping his authority. That's why I wanted to ask him before I brought this in. But I feel God wants to do something here this morning. And we've just got to be led by the Spirit of God. The end is not Bible school and a certificate on the wall, but that we might know God. We've got to have the heart of Jesus. We've got to know Jesus. So the thing that I... There's one piece of chalk here. There's a concept here that Greg was getting at, and it's really a wonderful concept. Very often we see many times in the classes, Mike Saber and others use this particular man to manifest that this is man, and then it was God dwelling in him. But the way we've been raised in the world, see, that's the configuration. This is God, the likeness and the image of God. But we're like this. We're the other way. Perverted and twisted minds and theologies. Body unstable, you know, body, soul, and spirit, the three parts of us. But it's real unstable. It's sitting in a place that's crooked. You know, very pointed. It's sitting in a place that's at a point where it can be hit and topple over very easily, see? Blown about by any wind of doctrine, whatever. And God is trying to get us to this point here. Now, the thing I want to say here is that when this thing comes to dwell in you, when you're a Spirit-filled Christian, and that Spirit comes to dwell in you, that Spirit is already perfect. The Spirit of God's Spirit, that Spirit, His Holy Spirit that's come to live in you, has been from eternity, from the foundations of the world. And that Spirit, although given in measure, is absolutely perfect. It's already perfect in you. But then you know what happens? The mind, the soul, has got to begin to catch up with what's already been done in the Spirit. And it takes the Word of God. By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Your mind begins to catch up with what the Spirit already knows. The Spirit already knows this. That Spirit has seen the entire creation of God. It already knows what man is. Supposed to be out here in perfection. Here's fall. That Spirit has already seen that from the beginning of time. And so God is trying to make us into a spiritual man, that He may present your body blameless, body, soul, and spirit to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in that hour. And there's a revelation here if we get a hold of it. It's the love of God that's going to do that. Not your intellectualism, not your abilities. This ugly, twisted, perverted thing that we are here is never going to make it unless we got the love of God in it. God so loved the world. It's the love of God that constrains us to finally be formed into this spiritual man that we're supposed to be. And that Spirit, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That Word of God is our truth and the lamp unto our feet. Worship Him in spirit. That's the only way we're ever going to get there. And there's a key there. It's telling you something. That Spirit is the only thing that can make communication with the Almighty God. It's the only thing, by allowing God's Spirit in you to have that communication and fellowship with Him, that's going to by the renewing of your mind, feeding upon His Word, which is the very expressed image of Him, is going to cause us to come into that image of God. And that's a revelation that God showed me not too long ago, and I feel it's a revelation. I don't know if it's ever been brought before, but there's a truth here. And I want to bring it to the entire body in a more full-blown message, but I feel there's something here. It's the love of God that's going to do this thing. It's going to get us here. There's more to it, but that's all I feel to share with Greg.
Well, just to say that, notice it says that the Spirit in you knows there's a fallen man. And you're in that. You are being redeemed out of that position. And that is the thing that you've got to quit hiding from God in the bushes of the Garden of Eden. You've got to quit hiding behind the fig leaf. God doesn't want us. He doesn't want our sin exposed either, though. He doesn't want us without anything. What He wants is with Christ on. But you've got to cooperate with the purpose of God. And so many times we're so nervous, we're so afraid to be exposed before God in your heart, in your inner man. He wants to uncover what's there, and He wants you and Him together to deal with it. He doesn't want it hidden. And the way that you know that you're hiding it, let me tell you, this is how you know it. He says hiding something from God. If you picked it up and saw it once and knew that what it was, and then decided to do something about it, and then didn't get delivered from it. You thought you were delivered, you covered it back up again and said that's taken care of, and then nothing happened. That means, well, it depends on how you look at it, but particularly means that it could mean anyway, that you were trying to do it in your own strength and you weren't really letting God's Spirit cleanse it out of you. Now, I'm not saying that you would have seen immediate deliverance if you'd done it right, but I'm saying that if you picked it up and sort of dusted it off and thought you cleaned it up and then set it down and thought it was all taken care of, if you did that in your own power instead of letting God do a complete work. The complete work is saying, yes, I'm weak from that, and recognizing the weakness as your state, and recognizing that God is the only thing that's different. That is you. You are in sin. You are now, you are in that position of sin, but God will lift you out of it. You're not going to lift yourself out of it. Does that kind of align with your understanding about
that? Well, there's one other thing. God, the image of God, God already knows what the image is that He wants to build in you and out of you. He already knows that. This man here, God has seen this man from all of eternity. And the thing He's been bringing today, we have fashioned in our mind's eye the kind of a thing that we feel God should have us to be. But brethren, we miss the whole thing. Only God, only the Spirit of God. There's a little man inside you right here. His Spirit. And that thing is already in the likeness and the image of God. It is already seen from the foundations of the world. The solical man came into existence here that he talked about the other day. And this man has continued to exist in this form here in a perverted, twisted thing. And God, throughout the centuries, has allowed man the rope to hang himself. It's always been that way. Men have always fashioned, I should be a certain way. Martin Luther thought that, see? Right. But they have missed the whole thing. Hard legalism, pounding people to death, see? But finally, people are coming to this, it's the love of Jesus, see? It's by the grace of God. Luther, the just shall live by faith. Finally, they got that truth. But in Revelation, from the very beginning of time, it's been the love of God. That's why He put the lamb's robes about Him, or the skins about Him, in the very beginning of time, at the fall. It's the love of God for His creation. And like the message I brought, Adam, he was a son of God, and we're the son of God in the end time. But this thing, the inside here, has already been, it is the only, the Spirit inside you is the only thing that knows how you should be.
Yeah.
Not your mind. You can't possibly know that. But it's through the Word of God, then, and your sufferings and the other things that cause this full man for this thing. thing to all of a sudden begin to, this little one, to begin to take on this full stature, and that's what we've talked about in our classes. We've got to one day begin to come into full stature. The likeness of Christ. Him, you see, it's not the physical man we're talking about when we say, let us be like Christ. We're talking about the inner man, the spirit inside you. Your attitudes, your motives, everything about you. That's the real you. That's the thing that's going to last for all of eternity, not the physical body we see. But all of a sudden, it's got to come into full stature. How? By the Word of God and by prayer. And by this thing in here, having constant fellowship with the source of all fountain of wisdom. The thing is that it emanates from, see, the very heart of God. We don't know what we're supposed to be. We absolutely do not know what we're supposed to be. From a theological standpoint or anything, we can't possibly know how we're supposed to be or what we're supposed to be. Only this in here, it already knows. It's already been fashioned. It's perfect. Yeah. God's Spirit, when He gave it to you, it doesn't need some kind of perfection. It is already perfect. It's already been it. It's already perfect. God's Spirit He is omniscient, you know, and He's all powerful, and He's all seeing, and everything about Him is perfect. It's already been done.
As I am.
I am. I'll be whatsoever I need to be, see, in that hour. But somehow we got to get this old thing into this state. Not we, but God. That's going to come through the Spirit of God and through that communication.
Yeah. And I would say that the corners of this thing, if you want it so you know how to get it straightened out, it's like this is the body, and I was sort of debating why you do this, but it's like man is completely that way, but God wants you so that it's your soul and your spirit. It's like, you know, keep the flesh under.
That's right.
Of course, there's even different aspects because the soul is only in the flesh, too, and that triangle is in the best. Seem to show it. I have to show it three concentric circles. Anyway, all these truths are sure important. We see it symbolized here in the tabernacle. The whole tabernacle together is Christ. But it is the presence of God in that tabernacle that makes Christ what He was. Because I don't, my works, they're not mine. They're my Father's works. Now this has glory to it, and so does your human body. So does Adam, because God created Adam. God created Jesus Christ. And His body and the way a human being's body is put together, that has glory to it. Just like this does. Just like this natural thing does. But it's nothing like the glory of the Creator of it. And God made you different than the rest of creation. It is essential to you and to the proper functioning of you that God Himself is in you. That is essential to you being a human being in the fullest sense. A tree can get by with air and water and minerals. It doesn't need, well, besides the fact that God's holding all the stuff together, it doesn't need the Spirit of God to be something. But God made you. You've got to have the Spirit of God in you, or you are just nothing. You're just all bent and twisted, ugly, weird, crazy. You can't grow right. You're a definite example of pathology. If you don't have, because like plants that get sick and they got all kinds of twisted, weird shapes to them. And that's what human beings are if they don't have God in them, living. Just in chapel, just for the 5 minutes at the end of chapel when you finally get woken up? No! All the time. From the moment you wake up till you put your head on the pillow, that's what it means to be a man of God. That's what it means to be a woman. It means to be in love with Jesus Christ. That's the whole thing. Gotta go. See you later.
Let's go right from the middle.
concerned.